Hi everyone, my name is Adam Small.
And I'm Jake Moses.
Welcome to our podcast, The Performer's Pathway.
A podcast adventure to help guide and navigate your musical life and career.
As a prelude to every episode, we'd like to remind our listeners that this podcast is about the other side of the musical coin. One side, which you see a lot at our website, mymusicmasterclass.com, is what to do in the practice room. The other side is how to maximize your talent and skills in the real world, and that's what this podcast is about. Also, if you have a few extra seconds to spare,
which is technically only 3 beats at 60 BPM,
please subscribe to our show on your podcast app of choice and rate us 5 stars. We could really use the help. You can leave a comment about absolutely anything, too. That small act of kindness will really help us expand our audience and continue to create new episodes.
And lastly, word of mouth is always super helpful. So if you like what you hear, please tell the world.
Before we get started here, though, I want to tell you about our new monthly guidebook / workbook called The Motivated Musician. It's geared towards serious musicians, and it offers challenges, exercises, professional advice, and more to help keep your career and your musical life on track. Also, as an extra perk, members get exclusive discounts from MyMusicMasterclass.com. So if you want to learn more, go to MyMusicMasterclass.com and you'll see the subscribe link in the menu. Click that and you'll be good to go. All right, everyone. So today we are here with Brian Charette, and he is an old friend of mine. We've known each other for a long time.
Yep.
From New York days. He's a Hammond endorser, a really cool solo artist. He's always doing really, really great and innovative things. He's a free thinker, a really great guy. He's played with Joni Mitchell and Chaka Khan and Paul Simon and Cyndi Lauper, amongst many, many others, and a ton of jazz cats, of course. And this I knew. He's a black sash at White Crane Kung Fu. And because we've had many discussions about this, and you used to be super into that. Are you still really into that, Brian? And well, first of all, how are you doing? And second of all, let's get into the Kung Fu.
I'm doing really well. I'm very fortunate to be not having super hard times right now. My wife was actually stuck in Berlin for 2 months, which was tough. Because she had a flight back like the day before they canceled flying between Europe and the United States. And so she was stuck there, but she was luckily with friends. But she's right. Been back, and we don't really go too far. I mean, we only go to the grocery store, and we both teach a lot.
I mean, you can't do much in New York City right now.
Yeah, I did a video for you.
That was killing.
I did a whole album of electronic music that I've been really kind of wrestling with for 2 years, and I finished it like, a month ago.
Right.
And I've been trying to just keep myself tight, I've been trying to, I lost a lot of weight, actually.
I can only see your head, but I can imagine how good you look in your
bikini. Well, I don't look great, but, for me, I haven't been this thin in 30 years, I would
say. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. We've been cooking at home, and I try not to eat sugar or bread, stuff like that.
I can't stop the sugar thing, man. The sugar thing gets me.
It's drugs, and the Entenmann's chocolate donuts. That's one way I love to roll, but I haven't been eating any of that stuff at all, basically.
Those Entenmann things are kind of like... we just talked to Ari Onig about it. He said that, real 40 plus, middle-aged man problems are cake and video games. That's pretty much, that's the dark hole besides, hard drugs. It's worse.
I'm basically doing really well, though. Great, I'm really fortunate. Everything is cool.
But now, this is the perfect time to be doing that stuff. And the masterclass you did for us is so cool because... I mean, not only is it musical and awesome and really cool and stylistically modern and all those things, but it's really something you can pull off by yourself without needing or wanting others. It's just cool being creative and making awesome music, right? And I think you said it saved you, and I kind of believe that, right?
And you know what? You guys know, I'm sure, at this point in time, before all of the crazy stuff started to happen, I would never be on a gig with the same band twice. I'm not sure that I ever have been, or I could count it on one hand. It's really hard to keep a band together, And if you're writing any kind of music that is conceptual or takes a while to get together, to me, that the way that is makes it really difficult to get a sound, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's frustrating, too.
Yeah.
And not inspiring.
Right. So what I had been doing, actually, I started before all of the things got crazy, was I got a bunch of machines that I could use, like arpeggiators, but I would be playing them live in real time. So nothing is really programmed. Mm-hmm. I have some beats selected, which is attached to an arpeggiator. I like Arturia stuff. I use an Arturia drum brute and a micro mm-hmm. freak.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
That's kind of my rhythm section, you know, and yeah. I can take my hand off the keyboards to manipulate those things. And I also have a couple samplers, and I just started to get into it, you know, and I've had such a length of time to be home now that I really, you know, got it together to put an album together. And it's like live electronica, like the takes on the album are live, you know, which I think yeah. is really rare for that kind of music.
Yeah, it's very rare.
I used to go see a house kind of techno band. It was a trio mm-hmm. out of Canada called The New Deal.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't sequence anything. So really, the keyboard player was doing all the stuff live.
Yeah, that's really heavy, too.
It was so sick.
Some of those guys, they don't even sync the machines. Yeah. Like, they just eyeball it where the downbeat is, and that's their sound because yep. it's super funky, you know.
Yeah.
Who knows how long this thing is going to go on? I mean, it's not over by any means, you know, and it's definitely only calmed down to the point in our area due to the fact.
I think you guys have it even worse now than we do.
We did. I don't know. Now. I mean, now it's just, I mean, I have a yard, so maybe not, you know, I mean, it depends on what worse is, you know, I mean, we all have to mask up and wipe everything off. I wipe off Amazon packages. I mean, it's unbelievable, you know. Yeah. I mean, but the other parts of the country are getting hit now, like we did, like Florida yeah. and LA or California yeah. in general. It's yeah. tough, man. But yeah. so getting back to it, I mean, I don't know how long this is going to last, but it's good to be making some changes. You know, we've been talking to other people about this as well on the podcast, and you know, are you doing anything specifically to kind of stay in shape? You said you lost some weight. Are you like running, or are you practicing any of the kung fu?
I do kung fu, but I don't do any kind of fighting or anything like that anymore. But I do the forms, which are, you know, you can use the forms and the qigong as muscle training. You can use it as aerobic. Mm-hmm. You can use it as meditation. You can hold very static postures almost in a yogic kind of way. For me, as a person that never really got into exercise before I started doing that, and I got into it, I did it when I was a kid. I did karate when I was 17, maybe for a year, and I loved it. But then I moved to New York and I started to play music, and I started to do it again when I was maybe 31, because I was a little out of shape, and I just was researching what kind of exercise to do, and I saw a Bruce Lee movie, which I never saw before, and I started to get very into the very old animal styles, like the old, my particular style is White Crane.
Do you remember that Bruce Lee movie?
It may have been Fist of Fury.
Right.
They have different titles too. Like one is called Big Boss, you know, if you're in different
Big Boss Man, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I was super into him, and Bruce Lee studied Kung Fu with Yip Man, who they made movies about recently, who's
Absolutely.
Wing Chun. But I got
they
very...
They just released the fourth one.
Yeah. And Donnie Yen, is that the actor? He's really incredible. Yep. And they say that he worked with the family on the movie. So I think if you're into that style, I think it's very authentically choreographed.
I'd be into it just to watch it. You know, yeah, I love that stuff.
I think they're great movies. Anyway, what I got into was White Crane. They have these very flippy kind of forms. And I could kind of break dance as a byproduct a little bit, you know. So I was really into that all through my 30s. And I do the forms now. I don't really do it with other people. I have many of the forms that I learned while I was studying it. And I know them. And there's good video resources of different people doing them. So I do that to stay in shape.
Cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you doing now for money now that gigs and touring are pretty much not happening?
Basically, my wife and I are doing the same thing. We're both musicians who make our main income stream is playing concerts. I don't know before all of this happened if I ever went 3 or 4 days without doing something, you know, for 30 years or some really long amount of time, you know. When things started to get better, I had a big April tour that was going to places like Italy and Switzerland.
Is this your solo project?
I was playing with different groups. I was going to play some orchestral music in Budapest that I had written. I had a trio in Basel, you know, all sorts of different stuff.
Right.
All of those I moved to October, but now it's not super sure that we're going to even be able to get there in October. So I teach remotely using Zoom and FaceTime. I work for the 92nd Street Y, where I teach a bunch of different topics. I teach like a group piano class where there's a couple adults maybe who have never played piano before, and we go over beginning piano pieces.
That's awesome.
I have actually excellent class right now. My students are all really thriving during this time too. I have one student who is into production, and Monday I'm going to start putting feelers out to do a lot more of it. And maybe I will try to teach Kung Fu remotely or writing, because I write for a lot of different magazines. I've never taught creative writing, but I'm writing for a bunch of magazines every month for like the last, I don't know, 15 years or so. So I must know something about it, especially that I could teach to someone who has never studied it before. So I'm just trying to find ways of doing that. I am not spending a lot of time going, woe is me, you know.
I think that's mentally healthy.
Yeah. And I don't get really drawn into us against them kind of mentality either, you know. I think the world is in a tough place, and this is a big reckoning. And as individuals, during this time of not having any kind of distraction, we're really coming to face our whatever it is for all of us, you know. So that's where I'm at with that.
You've had a very interesting life and career, and we could talk forever about all this stuff, but let's talk about something specific. You're a New Yorker, and you up and moved to the Czech Republic.
I actually went to the Czech Republic before I even went to New York.
No way.
I don't know if you ever heard this story.
No.
But I went to the Czech Republic on a tour. I don't even think I had graduated from college. I might have been 20 years old or younger. I might have been like 19 or 20 years old. And I was playing a lot of gigs. I was actually starting to go to Europe a lot. And I started to play with a trumpet player from the Czech Republic named Laco Deci, who's kind of a star there. He was a revolutionary in 1968 when they had the Prague Spring. He was actually friends with Havel. So we knew Havel when we were kids. Like, we would play concerts for him.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls, I mean, you know. I fell in love with the place.
Soft spot. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was on my first tour with him, and we were watching a video of the last tour. And my first roommate in New York, Leon Gruenbaum, I'm not sure if you know Leon, Adam, but he played with Vernon Reid.
I don't know him.
He plays with James Blood Ulmer. Very interesting musician. He invented this very strange computer-controlled MIDI controller called the Samchillion.
Man, I know that you've told me about this now that you're saying it, but...
He's a genius, you know. And anyway, he was playing piano with Laco on some video we were watching on VHS in 1992 or whatever it was.
That was what you did.
So I asked him, who's the guy playing piano? He sounds really good. He said, his name is Leon. I said, where is he from? He said, he lives in New York City. I said, I want to live in New York City. So he gave me the guy's number. The day I got back, I called him. And then 3 days later, I was living in New York. So the Czech Republic actually came first.
You were in Connecticut. You went to the. You took a crazy detour to get to New York. You could have just crossed the border, right?
Yeah, yeah. But that's how that happened. And, you know, I was living there like in 3 days from when I called him. He needed a roommate. In those days, the East Village was super cheap.
Yeah, dude. It was super cheap.
I was even on like a soap opera for a while. I didn't have like a big part, but it was for months. I had to join AFTRA or whatever it was.
Man.
There was a lot of work. And I guess the first year was difficult, but I was working rather quickly. I mean, if you could play keyboards, you always had some kind of job, you know. And I lived right in the East Village, not far from here, like basically a mile from where I live now. I lived in the building on the cover of Physical Graffiti, that Led Zeppelin album.
Oh, man.
Which nice. Is pretty cool.
Yeah, totally.
Lower right-hand corner window. And I would listen to that album all the time when I was a kid. You know?
Of course.
So anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Throughout your life, you've been a really versatile cat. And I would attribute that to you genuinely liking all the stuff that you play and being able to program. I mean, before you were doing electronic music recently, I mean, you've been programming and doing stuff the whole time. It's just that you're able to play jazz authentically because you love jazz authentically.
Yeah.
And you're able to do all these things.
I don't see big differences between all the different, it's music for me. You know, this one, you have to push this kind of button to make it go. And this one, like the system is small to me. I don't treat them as different things too much, you know.
Yeah, and you stay musical though, because you play with the Vivino brothers, right? And that's a blues gig, right? Or
right.
You know, when you're playing with all these artists, it always seems like, and this is more of a compliment than a question, because I played with you on occasions where we were playing funk gigs or we were doing whatever, and you always play to the music, and you have big ears, and you're a musical cat. That's kind of what matters, right?
Oh, thank you. I don't need to superimpose my, I don't need to get my stuff off. Like I like to be there. I like to be with my friends. And I want their, if I'm called to play for someone, I want to make their thing good. I don't need to play a lot of solos. I don't need to play any solos or anything like that, you know. We're very fortunate, and I think we're all realizing it now. Like to go someplace and go la, 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 or tap a couple strings and get paid, it's yeah. pretty awesome. And nobody gets hurt. It's an incredible way to live, actually, you know,
yeah, man.
To me. And easy after a while. Like, after you learn how to play music, all you got to do is be cool and show up. There's not going to be, like, a corporate takeover or, you know, some kind of stuff like that. Right. I mean, it happens. But in general, I feel like musician people sleep easy at night. There's not a lot of, you know, complicated machinations in a way. It's very visceral, you know.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. You know, within a lot of the things that you've done, I know that that's true. And most of the things I've done, there are some pop gigs, though, that do have corporate takeovers. You know, when you like a new manager come in and want their cats
sure.
or whatever it is, or a new MD. But
yeah.
That's a different world. You're right. It is the kind of thing where the grass is always greener and the musicians are always going to, not always, but they can complain about the lack of stability or this or that or lack of health insurance through that yeah. that's affordable. But mm-hmm. when it comes down to it, we do work for ourselves. And if you're a good worker and you have a good head on your shoulders, you can make things happen and you can do it on your terms.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you've been really, this is something I wanted to bridge into. I remember even talking to you about some of this where you were talking about your solo career and how you were kind of starting to build yourself. And I think maybe you were always doing your own thing, but I think when you got back from the Czech Republic, you pushed yourself even harder, no? Or was it while you were there?
I would say that I started to work really hard on music was about 10 years ago.
Okay.
I think I was 35 and I had no... I didn't have a record deal yet. And I feel like some of the musical choices, some of the bands I were playing with actually took me a little bit out of playing a lot of jazz music. I think it mattered a lot 10 years ago if you were playing in different genres of music. People just wouldn't think of you as being a jazz artist if you were playing in this kind of band also. Or people wouldn't think of you as being a rock artist if you were playing a lot with jazz groups. I feel like there was a lot of separation between the scenes.
I agree.
I don't think that's the case anymore. I think you can do anything. If you show up doing the right thing on whatever thing you're on, I think it's cool.
what's on the horizon kind of with your, if people start talking to each other and going out without masks, do you have another record that you're going to put out? And
I have two records ready to go. I have this one electric one, and I recorded a sextet, a new sextet record, which is the third one.
Oh man.
So they're both in the can, but I don't know if that's going to be released on time like it used to. I don't really know what's going to happen with that. I'm going to release the electronic one, but not for a few months. I'm going to release it December 1st, but I'm starting to send it around to press and stuff who do stuff way many months in advance.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to get that together. I'm trying to keep developing, working in the new paradigm, you know, working mm-hmm. with video, getting the sound right, making it so it's not, you know, my big thing has been I'll master some kind of video that I put to a social media and it will be too loud and it sounds very distorted.
Yeah, you got to watch that. Yeah.
So it's almost like I've been really trying to make it less loud and just maximize. I mix on the speakers now too. I mix mm-hmm. on these speakers.
Yeah, we mix, you know. When we master for video, we master a lot lower than for audio.
Uh-huh.
There's actually a limit. You know, a thing that you have to do, or it just blasts people's speakers out. It's right. It's very strange.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to you saying that you started taking things seriously about 10 years ago, I think you took things seriously conceptually in terms of your business as well, right? I mean, you instead of just being a sideman, you started pushing, and I think
right.
I remember a conversation we had saying like, yeah, I've done a lot of sideman gigs. I did this, I did that, but I'm starting to push myself. Did you do all that by yourself, or did you hire a publicist, or how did you go about doing this?
I've had a few publicists, and mm-hmm. I've had a few agents. Most of the things I've done has been myself, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I now do everything. I don't have anybody working for me, or I haven't hired a publicist to publicize my record. I do the publicity, I book the gigs, but you know, after 10 years of building a network, I have relationships with these people, so it makes it a lot easier too. And I don't freak out if nobody wants to write about it, and I don't freak out if nobody wants to give me a gig or whatever. They know that I'm going to be cool, and I know enough people in that network of 10 years of putting the work in that it's, I don't want to say it's easy now, but it's a lot easier. It's like I can write to someone like I have some sort of personal relationship.
You mean to get a review or something like that?
Whatever. Get a review, yeah. Get a gig. Like I have talked to that person now for maybe 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier to talk to someone when you have a little relationship with them than if you're just, hey, you don't know me, but, you know.
Yeah, man.
I also end up on tons of other people's records too, which really helps me stay in front of whoever talks about music. Or, you know, a lot of times I'll get some concert because, you know, I work with Oz Noy recently, who's excellent.
Yeah, Oz is great.
And I can't remember what it was. It was some kind of festival or a gig, and they had Oz's new record, which I play on.
Oh, cool.
And that helped me get a concert at the place.
Oh, nice. Is that Keith Carlock on that? Or
I think it's Vinny Caliuta. And nice. Maybe it's all Vinny Caliuta, and maybe Dave Weckl.
Oh.
They couldn't get anybody good.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. You said it before me.
No, it was such an incredible experience to play with Vinny Caliuta.
Jesus, I mean, yeah. He's the man.
You know, it's so amazing. The first day of the session, he was in a drum booth, and I could only see his arm. Right. You know? And I had never seen a more precise killing machine than Vinny Caliuta's right arm.
It's all it he just, needs.
The variance of touch and the definitive action of it was really wow.
Yeah, that guy.
And you know, Vinny Caliuta told me that he was an organ drummer in the beginning, because
really?
I think he's from Pennsylvania, so he was playing a lot with organ guys.
No way.
Anyway, what an incredible experience to be with those people and then have somebody else hear the record. So you know, it's all, every fluttering of the butterfly's wings really matters.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
When you're trying to work in a group of people, you know, like musicians, let's say,
mm-hmm.
And if you're professional and if you're cool and you end up on a lot of things, it's hard not to go different places, you know?
Right.
So I just try to get out of the way and let those things happen and not do stupid stuff. You know, when I'm on a session, I don't play like an idiot. I don't cause a problem.
Right.
I don't make a lot of, you know, issues. I just do the job. I don't say too much. And that seems to work pretty well.
Do you have any advice for other cats kind of in the similar situation, meaning on the front of being cool and making friends and that kind of thing and the importance of it?
It's really important to pay attention to other people and where they are at. And this is on the bandstand or socially. And I think what a lot of people do is it's very easy to get very self-centered with your wants or with your perspective. And if you're going to work with people, you have to meet them where they are. And then you have to learn to communicate them to them in words that resonate with them, even though that might be very different from you. You know, I'm just always trying to do that. And I find myself that I don't have a lot of needs when it comes to music. I love to do it. I don't really care what genre of music it is. I'm not overly specific of how people play or who the people are or if they approach jazz music with this kind of, you know, that stuff doesn't really matter to me at all. Mm-hmm. When I play music, I go to a different place, you know.
Right.
I would say, like a lot of people, I have a rather noisy inner dialogue when I don't have something to keep my mind occupied. When I play music, my mind is completely occupied and it feels like something that I can control, which is very uncommon to have in this world. B flat does not move. You can count on it to be there, you know, and when you start to look at it like that, it's really different. And you can be anybody and become your wildest dream too. I think a lot of people are very fast to quit, or they're very angry, or they're very easy to attack something else when they should not even be paying attention to that. And they should be looking at themselves, trying to pull themselves up, you know.
Yeah,
that's what I would say.
You know, do you do anything else to calm your mind? Do you meditate, for instance?
I do a meditate, but it's Kung Fu. So the beginning of my Kung Fu is to meditate. I do one called Microcosmic Orbit. It's a kind of Taoist breathing. It's very hard to know if you're doing it right. And, you know, part of the thing of these teachings is that they are very mysterious, purposefully so.
Wow.
But what the Taoists say about microcosmic orbit is that it is a type of breathing that cures ailments in your body. And very simply, you pump the air with your behind muscle, which they call the perineum, which is a nicer word for it. Hmm. And it goes up your back, over the top of your head, and you touch your tongue to the back, to the roof of your mouth, and they say it connects an electrical circuit. And you're basically circulating the breath like this, you know.
Wow.
So I do that. That's the kind of meditation I do.
That's pretty heavy, man. I'd never heard of that one. Do you have any kind of specific social media strategy? Do you feel that it's that social media is a little forced, or you just kind of do what you're feeling?
I think social media is really great.
Okay.
I'd never argue with people.
Me either.
I never do any kind of political stuff. I never say this or that is bad or sucks. I don't use it. The only thing I do is I make some kind of cool musical thing and I want to put it up there to share it with my people, especially now that I can't do it any other way.
Right.
I think it's very good to post on Instagram and Facebook on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Okay.
I actually post on Facebook in the morning a little mm-hmm. more. But I spend a lot of time getting whatever I'm going to put up there to be really good. Like I spend like 6 to 8 hours on it sometimes. I'll come up with some cool arrangement, or I even sing some pop tunes now, which is really hard for me because I'm not a really gifted singer. My wife teaches me. I'm like taking singing lessons for my Tuesday post, you know. But my intention is to give people something of quality, you know.
Right.
And I think that's the most important thing. And I don't think it's any different on social media than it is in real life. Like you have to have something to offer. And if you do that sincerely and it has something cute or smart or intelligent or explore some kind of concept that's interesting to other people that are into what you are, that's the way. And on social media, you have to support other people too, just like you do in real life. So if your friend does something cool on social media, and I have a close relationship with all like the Hammond organ guys, like we're all friends.
Right.
You know, none of us are spending time dissing the other guy. Like we are celebrating each other. And the more you have that kind of spirit, I think the easier it gets in life, really.
Well, I mean, you're celebrating that instrument too. What a beautiful instrument.
You're celebrating the instrument. And you know this quote that I always loved is, their success is your success. You ever heard that, guys? Yeah. Meaning if you're around people that are doing, are the best and the brightest in the world, that must say something about you, you know? So I'm just trying to go towards that all the time. And the social media approach is not different from my real life approach. You know, I would say it's the same. I'm just using different tools.
I have a question that's kind of has to do with all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I like to try to ask you guys as much as I can because you guys are all superhuman.
No, but not at all.
Essentially, like, all right, so with the singing thing, right? You're like, I want to be better at that for this reason. So I'm going to like go ahead and figure out what I can do about it. Do you ever struggle, or even in the past coming up, with discipline, time management? Because I know that's a huge thing for students.
Those two things are my strengths. I struggled with the fact that I had too much of that, and it was getting in the way of my artistic mind.
Can that be taught, though? Is that a talent?
Anything can be taught, yes. And I don't believe in talent.
Yeah.
I think people can have a set of conditions that make them get things very quickly or maybe at a very young age.
Yep.
I think if a person comes from a very healthy, stable home environment, that's going to be a big advantage over someone that's coming from some sort of tragedy in that area.
Yeah.
And then what the individuals do with whatever they come from, you can have someone that comes from tragedy and says, I'm going to turn this all around. And then by 40, they're a superstar. Or you can have someone who comes from a very comfortable family background that is maybe very lazy and has had maybe something done for them all the time. So we all have to figure out our way to get there.
Yeah, I mean, Django lost his fingers in a caravan fire and then he became pretty okay at guitar.
Yeah. I have a finger disability too, you know.
Yeah.
And I say it's all
you
the stupid...
You broke it, right?
Yeah. I say it's all the stupid notes.
Yeah, Brian, we could do this all day, all night, but you know, we talked about a lot and man, it's good to catch up. And is there anything like specific that you would say to other musicians, maybe not in as, what's the word, not a comfortable position, because none of us are in comfortable positions, but maybe not as connected, you know, younger up and coming cats at this time?
Figure out a way.
Yeah.
Keep chipping away at the stone until you get it. And if you do that, you're going to do better than almost everyone else because almost no one can do that. You know, don't give up. Never surrender.
Right on, man. Well, thanks so much for coming on, man. And, you know, let's catch each other soon.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. And it's been so great to work with you on all the videos. It's really been wonderful for me. I really appreciate it.
All right, brother. Talk soon. Questions, comments, episode ideas, hate mail, you can get in touch with us by contact form, email, or voicemail, all of which are available at our website, theperformerspathway.com. If one of your questions or topics makes it into the podcast with your consent, of course, you'll receive a shiny new $10 gift card for use at mymusicmasterclass.com. That's our sister website, which contains over 600 original educational videos from your musical heroes. So, look forward to hearing from you.